is Jonathan Fogel, and you are listening to Mac Edition Radio.
This is Harris Fogel at the Photo Plus Expo in New York. I'm with David Tobey of Datacolor and David Saffer of Datacolor, and we're going to talk a little bit about color management. Let's start by talking about color management in the mobile age.
Yeah, the mobile space is an interesting one because mobile's really not made for color management. It's not really intended to have that level of color control. So you kind of have to roll your own. Datacolor is busy rolling their own solutions for color management.
When we think about the mobile space, most people are probably thinking about mobile phones, but we can include tablets as well, right?
Android tablets, iPads, iPhones.
A couple of years ago, we talked about a product that allowed you to calibrate portions of your iOS, your iPad. So let's talk about that, David Saffer.
Well, the most useful aspect of that was that you could color calibrate your iPad, just as an example, and use it as a portfolio, as a presentation tool. And it was greatly improved, as a matter of fact. As good as the color on the iPad was, you got more color accuracy, greater detail in highly saturated areas, better contrast separation, things like that. And so it still is a much better tool than the original iPad for showing your work to clients and potential clients.
But the workflow is that the iOS does not allow for global correction. You correct within an application. In this case, let's talk through the workflow. You attach the spider to your host computer, then you connect it to your iPad. Let's talk about that.
Well, it's a little bit like Voodoo. The first time I did it, I really couldn't believe it was working. You connect your spider calibration device to your, say, laptop, which is connected to your local Wi-Fi network. You connect your iPad to the same Wi-Fi network, put the spider on the iPad, and you start the application, and Voodoo-like, it calibrates the iPad. And it really have no idea of what's going on inside all these devices, but it works.
So to utilize this calibration, you launch Spider Gallery, the application on your device, and then you load up your JPEGs. Should JPEGs be loaded up as sRGB, or what would be the color space that's appropriate for those devices, Mr. Tobey?
Well, these are, after all, mobile images, so sRGB is the appropriate color space, and it's also the standard that Apple seems to be moving to for much of their device space, so it's definitely what gets converted to automatically if you run things through iTunes. So the best deal is make sure that everything you put on your iPad or do for the web is in sRGB so that our application can color correct it from there.
Could you create a profile so you could do soft proofing, let's say in Photoshop, to tailor an image to look best on an iPad's limited gamut?
Yeah, if we exported the profile that we put on your iPad, then it would be possible to use that as a soft proofing or an emulation profile. We're not providing that at the moment, but we have heard that request.
So let's talk about Android. You've made some initiatives there, right, David?
Yes, we now have an application on the Google Play Store that will do the same kind of calibration for Android that we do for iOS. Actually, Android has a wider variety of screen types with many more white points and different gamma values, so it's actually far more necessary to color calibrate Android devices, and we actually have to work quite a bit harder to bring that wide array of devices into consistency.
How much of an improvement are we talking about seeing? There is a lot of different devices out there. Now you've got Retina displays, even on the Mini, on the new Mini. You've got a whole variety of new technologies, and the technology changes. Are we getting better color out of these tablets?
Well, I enjoy watching people gasp when they first see the color calibration turned on and off, even on an iPad with an image. Depending on the Android device, that difference can be significantly larger than the calibration applied.
Let's talk about video. David Tobey?
Well, video is kind of the expansion space of the photography market today, and so even the photographers who've learned what they need to know about color management for still are kind of in the infancy of learning what they need to know about color management for video.
Well, it seems that most of the time you see people working in Final Cut, they actually haven't profiled their display for the NTSC monitor space. They're not really thinking video. They're thinking, if they calibrate at all, they're just thinking calibration. They're not really making the switch that, hey, I'm working in video. I should really be thinking about this in a whole different way.
Well, I wouldn't suggest NTSC is the likely solution today. Probably Rec. 709. The dirty secret of Rec 709 is it's really sRGB with about 6 stops of dynamic range. So that's what 95% of your video ends up in. So it's actually highly appropriate to calibrate to the Rec 709 standard on your computer monitor if you're going to be editing video in Final Cut, Premiere, any application like that.
David Saffer, there's a little bit more to the story, right?
Well, there is. It's actually like sort of a back to the future scenario because we started out shooting JPEGs. We went to RAW. People were less sensitive to getting it right in the camera because they thought, oh, I can always fix it in post. Now we're back to, you better get it right in the camera again because you're shooting these video streams and they're compressed video streams. They're like JPEGs. So it's very important to get the camera white balance. It's very important to get your exposure right. Get it right in the camera, otherwise you have headaches in post.
Once it's baked, it's baked. It's very hard to repair that without banding and other color shifts, right?
Particularly skin tones, which are the key to success in a lot of videos. The skin tones are very hard to fix if they're all mashed up together in a compressed video stream and they're wrong. You can't really do a whole lot with them in post-production.
So what are your suggestions for getting the white balance right?
We have a couple of products, Spider Cube, for one, to help you do a custom white balance for the camera, or the Spider Checker, which can also help you with that.
Now, the Spider Checker is an interesting product because you can remove the targets, right?
Spider Checker is interesting because one side allows you to profile the camera, has a series of color patches. The other side, you can flip the panels over and they have gray panels on them, so you can color balance the camera using that.
David, Datacolor approaches the idea of color profiling a little differently than some of your competitors. Can you talk about that workflow?
Well, we use a process which is called HSL color correction rather than using a DNG profile for color correction. There are several advantages to that. One is it has 24 control points rather than the 6 control points in a DNG profile. Another advantage is that it does some of the things which you would expect a color target does, which color targets used with DNG actually do not do, meaning you can change from one lighting condition to another successfully with it. You can correct images that were shot under one lighting condition to a correct standard, which is very, very difficult to do with a DNG profile.
Because a DNG, you're dealing with one or two illuminant sources, right?
Well, some of this is illuminant-based, but some of it is also based on the fact that the 6 control points you have to adjust things in DNG are basically saturation and hue in red, green, and blue channels, none of which really deal with brightness. Whereas what we're doing is up to 8 color channels. We're doing the hue correction, the saturation corrections, plus a brightness correction. So that's kind of key to being able to balance these things out.
Walk us through the workflow.
Well, you're going to either shoot a still image of the color target. This is really a studio process. You should set it up carefully in a dark space. You should light it with a single light at 45 degrees from a long distance so you get very uniform lighting on the target. Because our goal here is to have each of these patches represent as closely as possible the values that are taken when you use a spectrophotometer to measure these color patches. That's what we're balancing against. So you're going to shoot this once under those lighting conditions with your camera or with a camera lens combination. And you're going to use the resulting preset that's made by running that image through our software to create a preset that you'll then apply to all your images shot under any lighting condition with that camera or that camera and lens combination. So we're not asking you to take this target out in the field and have your model hold it under whatever lighting happens to be showing up in your situation. And really, we recommend a site tool for that. That's what the Spider Cube does, is to allow you to capture information about your lighting conditions and your exposure. The target really is used more as a studio tool, which is why we make a studio-sized target.
So you have this preset. Where does it live?
Well, if you're working in Lightroom, it would be a Lightroom preset. If you're working in Photoshop, it would be an ACR preset in the Adobe Camera Raw plugin that pops open every time you try to open a RAW file in Photoshop. If you're a Hasselblad Focus user, then it's a preset in Hasselblad Focus. If you're shooting video, then you would actually shoot a video clip of the target, and you would run that through Lightroom as well, and you would then be able to create a Lightroom preset for video, such that any video clips that you run through Lightroom could be corrected with this video correction instead of a still image correction.
So walk me through the step-by-step of using the preset in Lightroom.
Well, it depends on what other things you'd like to stack into your preset system. What I tend to do is the key to about 85% of your color correction is the spider cube and what it tells you about the situation, lighting, and exposure. However, that changes not necessarily frame to frame, but fairly frequently through your shooting. So I'm not likely to save a preset that has that information in it. However, my camera calibration is very constant. I'll use the same one for months on end. So there's no reason not to build that into a preset and apply it. There are a few other things that I like to apply to a preset. For instance, I like to apply the lens profile corrections to every image that I shoot. And those, unfortunately, are not at the top of the panel when you're doing editing in Lightroom. So you're likely to forget to do them in advance. If you set them up as part of your preset, then they happen automatically. So I would set up a preset that would have camera lens corrections and any other corrections that I feel should be applied to every image that I shoot, and I would add my preset for my color correction into that. And having everything that I want to globally apply to my images in one preset makes it a one-step process and one you're far more likely to remember to use. Now, once I've applied that preset, my stream of images is likely to have photos with spider cubes in them. So what I'll do is the first image with a spider cube in it, I will do my white balance and my other exposure corrections to that image, apply that to my next image, and kind of leapfrog forward by saying, apply previous, apply previous, apply previous to each image as I move forward until I come to another image with a cube in it. At that point, I'd apply previous one more time because it'll get me most of the way there, even though this is a new cube shot. I'd then make the final adjustments to edit to this new cube image, and I just apply that forward. So I'm just paying this forward to each image. And if I come to a point halfway between spider cube shots where things change a little, well, then I'll change my adjustments a little, just visually, and then I'll keep moving that forward until I come to another spider cube shot where I can recheck what adjustments I'm making and keep going.
Datacolor makes a wide range of products, ranging from systems to help you calibrate your home theater system to profiling papers and printers and a wide range in between. Where can our listeners find out more information about them?
Well, their Datacolor website, datacolor.com, would be the obvious location to start looking at this. But particularly on our website, the Spider blog contains many articles on these topics. And you'll also find links there to webinars. David Saffer and myself have done numerous webinars on various topics in photography and color management and videography, which can be watched directly from the website.
I want to thank David Tobey and David Saffer of Datacolor for spending time with us. Pleasure, gentlemen.
Thanks. You're welcome.
Always a pleasure, Harris.
For Mac Edition Radio, this is Harris Fogel.
You've been listening to Mac Edition Radio, available on the web at www.maceditionradio.com. The contents may not be used without written permission.